Last week, we listened to and pondered over the evocative and life-generating way of God in the first creation story at the very beginning of Genesis. Sun, moon, sky, water, earth, plants, and seeds. Humankind created in the image of the Holy, who is a creator of wonder and love. And with God, we experienced that it was good. Evening and morning, day after day, it is good. It is God's creation, and we are placed in it with God to co-create things of life. So our sacred story begins. God present. Humans infused with the spirit and life of God. So it begins and continues to unfold as humans confront the challenges and wonders of being alive in deep connection with the holy love that is God, who is present and will never go away, ever. It's a curious combination, isn't it? Finite humans and infinite God, imperfect humans and perfect love. There is so much we can absorb and be blessed by when we let this love infuse and support us. There is so much that can challenge us as the compassion and peace of God bumps up against the fears and anxieties that are hurricane damage, Korean missile tests, Charlottesville, challenges for kids in school, addiction, physical pain, grief, strained relationships, which is life today, isn't it? The love and grace and presence of God is loose in the realities of our lives and this world as they are. Grace, light, hope, transformation, acceptance, possibility, all around. Insecurity, self-doubt, anxiety, financial pressures, social challenges, injustice, violence, all around. With you, I am ready for all the painful parts to be gone. With you, I am prepared to do what I can to help that happen. And in the meanwhile, and in what is, and despite what is, or because of what is, we are called and enabled to be the church, a people of hope in the here and now, a people that listens for and recognizes the presence and life that God provides, and lets that shape us, support us, guide us, change us, flow through us. We have not been created and cast out on our own. We have been created and journeyed through life with the Creator in our midst and present at all times. Our sacred story gives us so many examples of how people have paid attention to God's love and how they have ignored it. It tells us of God's faithfulness and endurance, regardless of human faithfulness or lack of faithfulness. It tells us of God's continual creation of life in and through circumstances that shout, "No way life can come from this." This morning we hear a story that screams, "No way life can come from that," if we hear it literally. It's a painful story to hear. It's one that I wish were not the appointed reading for the second Sunday of the church school year. It's one that, if lifted out from the rest of the sacred story, would make someone run from the church and this God in whose name so much violence has been perpetrated. One commentator wrote about our passage this way: "Despicable. Despicable is an understatement. How could a father, how could a God of love, how could Abraham, did God, would God, Not the God I know. Definitely not the God of love, justice, and kindness. Love God with all your heart, mind, being, and strength. But what about love of neighbor or love for your own child? No, this is not right. This story makes no sense. It is horrible. And in this time, may God's spirit of love enlighten us about this repulsive tale. May we learn and grow in your presence despite and through this uncomfortable story of a father and a son. This is the story. We jump past many chapters in Genesis and come to the time when God's promise to Abraham and Sarah has finally been fulfilled. They had been promised a child. They had left their homeland and took the journey God had set and called them to take. They had been incredibly trusting. They have reached 80 or 90 years of life and still no child until we catch up with them today in the 21st chapter, verses 1 to 3 of Genesis, where our sacred story says, "The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him." It's happened, finally. God's promise and way of life has come to pass for them. A baby, a boy, Isaac. They are beyond ecstatic. God had said it would happen, but so much has happened in the years before it did. They had wanted to trust God's promise, and yet there hadn't been a child of their own. But here he is now. Here is Isaac. Here is proof for them of God and God's way of life. Sound the trumpet. Rejoice. But wait. The story continues in the 22nd chapter. Despicable. How can it be? After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham," and Abraham said, "Here I am." God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, "Father." And Abraham said, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood upon it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham said, "Here I am." And God said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." The trumpets get out of tune quickly and slip into a minor key. The wind is sucked out of our sails. Yes, the story ends with Isaac alive, but Abraham putting firewood on the back of his son, binding him and placing him on the pyre, raising a knife, God directs Abraham to do that? Literally? I can't open my heart and give my life to a God who would do that. That God would be a tyrant. So this can't be. It can't be a literal story. There's something else in it. There is a story of life and an invitation to a way of being in it. But it is told with these horrific details of a father being ready to kill his son. I can't accept that as God's way. That's not the point of the story. This is not God demanding Abraham to kill his son to prove his faithfulness. Oh, how I wish there were other imagery used to make the point, but this is the story we're given. This is the one with which we grapple. And how do we find God? Where is our God of love in the midst of such a horrific story? But isn't that the question and challenge and search of the church every day, isn't it? To be looking for and seeing God and hope and life of God in the midst of what is. To be co-creating life with God, to bring life through and in the desolate, scary, threatening, inhospitable realities, to trust that God will provide what is needed to be a people of love. The details of Isaac on the pyre and Abraham raising a knife are not condoning child sacrifice. Child sacrifice is condemned throughout the Hebrew scripture and in Jewish practice. These details are offered as a horrific metaphor of the very worst kind of experience that could be encountered, and the opportunity to trust God in a dire situation. Abraham declares that trust early on in the story. We hear it when he and Isaac take leave of the two servant boys and head off on their own. Abraham says that he and Isaac are going off to worship, and they will both return. This is the declaration of trust and faith. This is Abraham's recognizing that God is creating a future in and through the reality of hard times. Abraham says that God will provide. And in the story, a ram is provided for the sacrifice. The story shows us Abraham's willingness to trust in what God will provide, and with that trust, to dare to walk into scary, uncertain, threatening situations, depending on God and God's providing. This is the call to the church. We are not to be denying the hurricanes, violence, racism, threats that are real. We are called to walk into the thick of it with God, for God, trusting God, acting for God and with God to bring healing, life, and hope. Setting out into the storm not as martyrs, but as people of hope, bringing life into what has been experienced and written off as without hope. Setting out with wobbly knees and with so much unknown, but certain of the presence of God, who is good, who is love, who will not let us go, who is creating a future that is good. We have been hearing some of those stories and some stories of those who have been doing that kind of creating in these past weeks. The Cajun Navy in Texas, the furniture store owner opening up his businesses for displaced people, Louise, Janice, and Pat heading off into a rally in Boston. People entering into the unknown to care and to love. They don't know how it will end. They know only that they need to enter into the unknown with care and love, and then trust. Excuse me. They don't know how it's going to end. They know that they need only to enter into the unknown with care and love and then trust that God will provide and life will be made. Sacrifice is enacted prayer. Sacrifice is trusting in God and using our lives to connect more deeply to the holy. Sacrifice is going into the unknown, trusting that God will provide and make a way. Go. Sacrifice. Amen.